Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kalb, and today I'm pleased to have back as my guest Dr. Eric Love. Today we're going to be discussing becoming your true self with Bach Flower Remedies. Dr. Love has been on the show before, and his interviews can be accessed at www.plasticos.com under Resources and Radio. He talks about emotional healing, the emotional component, and how the Bach Flower Remedies can help you with that. Today we'll go into that in further detail. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Love.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Dr. Kalb.
So would you like to give the listening audience a little bit of the background about the Bach Flower Remedies and what they are?
You bet. The Bach Flowers have been around since 1936. Dr. Bach died in 36. He was a very great medical doctor. He was a great homeopath. They called him the second Hahnemann, who was a founder of homeopathy. Can you hear me okay? I'm on my headset.
Yeah, I can hear you okay.
Okay, good, good, good. So he was a Harley Street specialist, and but he was a naturalist, and he was a metaphysical, spiritual person. And God led him to these flower remedies for healing the emotional, spiritual conflict inside of people, or the emotional component. And what they are is 38 remedies that Dr. Bach discovered, which are all flowers except for one. It comes from a healing spring. And each one he treats and heals a certain specific emotional issues that a person has, like fear and anxiety and depression and guilt, being too dominating and pushing yourself too much, and grief and sorrow and things like that, things that are going on the emotional component. It pretty much covers the whole spectrum. There's 30 of what's going on in the emotional. There's 38 remedies. And between those 38, you can generally find the core of what's going on with you so that you can get dramatic and major healing. That the remedies, you take them four times a day, and usually I have people start with one, and then we go to three. And in the advanced stages, we'll take more. In other words, when students are more advanced, they can take more remedies. And as you take the remedies, the remedies don't, they're not like, they're not, everybody's thinking of drugs. When you take a drug, it automatically fixes the problem, although you've got side effects. The remedies don't do that. They're not a quick fix. The remedies trigger you to realize something. So the healing of the emotional component differs from all the other body healing in that the healing of the emotional component is a spiritual thing. It's a metaphysical thing. And in order to heal emotional things, like you got fear or you got like grief from the loss of a loved one or something, and to heal those kind of things, you got to go on to emotional level. You got to go on a spiritual level and grow and change and become a new person in a spiritual way, just like you were walking with the Dalai Lama over in Nepal, or you were with some great spiritual master in India. And the master is your soul inside of you, who's always speaking your soul, your higher self, to always saying, hey, man, you're too dominating, or hey, man, you're pushing yourself too much, or pushing others. You're being mean, you're too angry. But we're not listening because we're too busy on our cell phones, and we're too busy chasing money, taking care of our family, and working three jobs. So when you take the remedies, if you had grief, terrible grief, and the grief was just, it's just hurting you so much, I can't tell you how to heal that. But if I give you Star of Bethlehem, your higher power, your higher self, will show you the steps that you need to take, the metaphysical lessons you need to learn in order to heal that grief. So my guy who was in Afghanistan Special Forces, he told me he can see the face of every man he killed, because when he shot him long distance as a sniper, He said, you look at the man first, you study him for a while, and you can see his face, and he's thinking about his family at home, and he's smoking a cigarette. You study him a little bit before you shoot him. And so he told me he had 80 confirmed kills, but he killed a lot more people than that. He said, do you think what I'm going through is because of what I did over there? Yeah, yeah. So I can't tell him how to get through that, because it's an experience you have to go through to learn things. Only your soul inside can show you how to do that. So when you take the remedies, you're able to listen to the voice of your soul, the still small voice of your soul, to show you how to work through the trauma from the war, or the trauma from the sexual abuse from the childhood, or the trauma from that divorce or that man who dumped you, or those people who hurt you, whatever the grief is. But you've got 38 remedies that treat the whole spectrum of all the different kind of things that people can be going through. And that's what I've been using the remedies about 45 years. I just love them. They're one of the funnest, coolest things I think I've ever done in my life. And they never cease to amaze me. And I keep learning about them. So in a nutshell.
So are the remedies kind of in different categories? You talked about fear and grief and anger and that type of thing. I know there are protective remedies as well. Are there categories of remedies?
I divide them into categories. Bach divided them into certain categories. I use a little bit different, like protection. You've got 9 remedies for protection. One of the greatest causes of disease in the world now is people taking your power. You go, I don't have the energy, I'm exhausted. Yeah, well, that's because somebody's taking your energy. When people take your energy and crush you and destroy you and assassinate you enough, you collapse into physical disease and body pain. And you've got 9 remedies for that. You've got 3 remedies for exhaustion. You've got 4 remedies for being dominating. A dominating person, when you stand next to them, you can feel the control coming off of them. They just want to, and they got a controller. They can't let go and flow. They can't get into the flow of the Tao, God's plan, the divine plan, which is easy and effortless. They can't do that. They're constantly controlled. I've got goals. We're going to have it this way and whatnot. That's the control remedies. Then you got what I loosely call the workaholic remedies. These are people that are pushing, always got things they got to be doing and plans they got, a lot of goals they got to think. And even if you take them over to Hawaii, they're sitting on the beach. Well, we got to be at dinner at 6 o'clock, and then we've got to go to this show and watch the dancing and stuff. They're always busy, busy, busy. I can't relax. So a person says, I'm tense. You know, I've owned 3 schools of massage. So now somebody says, well, I'm tense. I said, well, I don't give them treatment. I say, well, we got to find out why you're tense. And if they're a workaholic person and they're always over busy and doing too much, that's why they're tense. When you give them those the tension remedies, the workaholic remedies, they'll heal that in a good, thorough constitutional transformation where you take a person who's like really impatient and then they're no longer impatient. That's probably 6 months, 8 months, can give or take a little more. But so you've got that one. You've got the fear. Oh, my God. The fear is like somebody say in like 2025, say, you were alive back then in 2018. What was it like? Man, that was a decade of fear. Everyone's scared to death. The general fear, what Dr. Jim Blackman in Beverly Hills, I used to teach in his office there and at Cedars-Sinai, and he said everyday fears. He's the everyday fears. It would be like worry about money. And having money, I think they're going to do it on the external. No, you've got to do this on the internal. We have 2 dimensions. We have the external and internal. John Taylor Gatto, Teacher of the Year in New York City. I've got books on the book list from John. He's so cool, John. So he says, Americans don't have an inner self. Somebody else said, well, they do have an inner self. I said, well, maybe they do, but they never go there. No, the fear, it doesn't matter how much money you have. Ted Turner said to the kids at Montana State University, I still worry about money. I've got some money. I've got some businesses. I've got some cash. I own some real estate, but I don't feel like I have enough money, and I still worry about money. This guy's a multi-billionaire. He's one of the richest person in the world. So having it on the external to be set up where you have money doesn't handle your worry about money. So then you've got worry about disease. The medical profession, which I don't like to criticize, God bless the medical cartel. The medical profession uses fear to scare people. Oh, we got the flu. You need to get that flu vaccine this month because it's going to be killing people and stuff. And then they got to, we got to do all this and we got to take this out and do that and whatever. They're not doing holistic medicine. They're not doing nature cure. They're not doing natural medicine. They're using drugs that are poisonous and I don't like to criticize the medical profession because God bless them, I just do my own thing. But fear is one of the tools that's used to manipulate people. So people are scared to death. And then you've got other kind of fears, like a fear of thunderstorms, fear of snakes. My ex-wife was in a car accident, and she was in terrible fear of being in a car accident, attempting to get in the car. 2 years she was like that, 2 or 3 years. That's all of that we've just been talking about. That's nimulus. It's one of the most biggest and most important remedies for this decade. Then you have aspen, which is a second fear remedy, and the aspen is fear from an unknown cause. They call it a panic attack. So you just get real scared. I had it one time when I was younger. I was scared to go out of the house. I didn't know why. I was just really scared. Aspen never knows why. They're just really scared. Usually always knocks out heavy nightmares, children's nightmares. Anytime you have fear with unknown cause, and then you have a couple of other fear remedies like red chestnut, where you're worried about the people that you love, and there's a few others. And then you've got anger remedies. My God, that's the other thing. Everybody's so angry. And people tell me when they open their heart to me and tell me what's going on, they go, I'm so angry. I say, yeah. So let's figure out a remedy. Well, the number one remedy for anger, you can tell when you got angry because you're just angry. You're just mad all the time. Well, you can't do your spiritual work when you're mad. And by golly, the purpose of human life, all the great masters say, is to know yourself and to know God, self-realization and God-realization. You can't do any of that when you're angry, because you're all caught up in this lower vibration, historical vibration of the Middle Ages of the anger. And we want to get rid of that. So the first remedy you want to use is, what I always think of first, and I've been using this so much lately, is a remedy called willow. The willow is for people who are angry and resentful. That's the whole big key. It's the word resentment. Bitterness, animosity. Now, what happens with the willow is they stew on it and they chew on it. So I said, well, are you angry? They go, yeah. Say, you got resentment? Yeah. And it's thinking about what the people have done to them. Oh, he hurt me so much. Oh, he did these things. He ruined my life. He hurt me so much. So they're ruminating. And the problem is that and it could be real, it could be imagined, but the problem is that you become what you think about all day long, Emerson said. So if you're thinking, oh, he hurt me, oh, he's this way, oh, these people are bad to do, when you wake up the next day, and because you thought about it so much yesterday, you're going to have it all over again. So it creates a cycle, plus then you're negative, and you're not going to be able to do any healing. You're not going to be able to connect with other people, and you're going to have a miserable, stinky, rancid life because you're too angry. And anger is one of the five enemies. Kirpal Singh, who was the president of the World Fellowship of Religion, he said the five enemies are lust, that would be the guy in the Doors, Jim Morrison. Every night he's sleeping with a different woman, taking the heroin, taking the drugs. That's a bust. Anger, which is what we've been talking about. Lust, anger, greed. That's I want more. I want more. Attachment. That's what happened to Debbie Reynolds when her little girl, Carrie Fisher, died on the plane. She was so attached to little Carrie that the next day she died. Mm-hmm. Attachment. Then you don't have any identity. You don't even have your true self. You're living through this other person. So attachment, and the last of the five enemies is ego. That's where you're strutting around, and you're just strutting your way through life. You know everything. You got all the answers, and you're the best because you're rich, or you're the best because you're smart, or you're the best because you look good, got a great body, or whatever it is. The five enemies. Now, that's a spiritual dimension. And anytime you're going to work on the emotional, you're going to also work on the spiritual. The emotional dimension is the mind, not the brain. The brain is a Western thing. The mind and all of those great spiritual teachers of the East, they say the mind is centered in the heart. And the mind that we're dealing with when we're dealing with emotionals is the astral mind, right above the physical plane. That's where all the hatred is and the fears and the anxiety. It's above the physical plane. The Bach remedies are able to get you in touch with that dimension and get you to learn the lessons so you can rectify and resolve those stuck issues that are stuck and causing you pain. So, and I guarantee you, anytime you've got body pain, anytime you've got a physical disease, there's always an emotional and spiritual component to it. There's something that you need to learn. In fact, in our in this age, we're coming out of the dark age and going into the age of enlightenment. And God has chosen to use, this is a secret, God has chosen to use physical disease and body pain, emotional pain too, as a wake-up call to tell you that you need to get out of the rut of your life and go and study and learn and grow, because the human life is like a school, and we're supposed to learn certain things, and our soul sets us up. We're supposed to learn certain things and grow, and our soul gives us this karma. We're supposed to change, and we're supposed to drop old ways of being and get into new ways of being. So anyway, all that being said, so back to anger, that's the first anger remedy, the willow. Bitterness, but it's chewing inside and stewing on it. And believe me, if you got that, mm-hmm. I just don't know how you're going to get out of it if you don't use the Bach. I do know that in Alcoholics Anonymous, they make you work your resentment really hard. They make you do work with paper and pen and really work on it. Other than that, I just don't see people healing their resentment. But when I give someone the willow, and I step out of the way and let God work with that person, I'll come back next month or even next week, and the resentment's gone. The person's healed it, because the Bach is so effective to connect you with your soul so you can listen to the voice of your higher self telling you how to heal your bitterness. Now, the second anger remedy is Holly. And Holly's got the resentment too, but Holly's got something else. Holly's got jealousy and revenge. So I don't know if you've read or heard anything about over in Israel, and they had the fence, and they told the Palestinians, don't charge the fence, because if you do, we have snipers, and they got the rubber bullets, but they got real bullets too, and the snipers will shoot you. So don't try to break down the fence. Well, the Palestinians started charging the fence, trying to break it down, and they got shot. Now that is Holly. Holly is hatred and bitterness, and I'm going to get you. So Holly actually wants to destroy the other person, whereas Willow doesn't mm-hmm. have that. So those are your two main ones. And some of the workaholic remedies can be angry, and some of there can be anger with dominating remedies. But those are your two main ones that I've been using lately.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got remedies for exhaustion, which are absolutely fascinating. Like olive is a remedy for total, complete exhaustion. I had a guy tell me that he got back from Vietnam, and he went to his mother's house, and he sat down in the shower and had warm water over him, and he sat there. He couldn't even get up. He was so exhausted. He was there for 5 hours under the water. Mm-hmm. Exhaustion, you just burn out. It's an emotional thing, and it comes because of what you've been going through and the people taking your power. Then you've got hornbeam, which is a remedy for more energy. So if you're tired, you just need more energy. It's also an emotional thing. And you can take the hornbeam, and you'll find yourself by the end of the month having more energy. And then oak, which is for when life is a struggle. And I'll give that by the end of the month as well. Is life still a struggle for you? And they go, no, not so much. Not so much. So it's worked. And we're not used, no one has trained us to go to the inner self. So even when things heal on the inner self, we don't even notice because we never spend any time there. I walked in, it was in Arizona over north of Phoenix, Anthem. And I walked in, the girl at the store, I'm so depressed. She was running the health food store. I'm so depressed. I got so much anxiety. Everybody walks all over me, uses me. I've got terrible fear. And when I said, well, she says, I'm thinking about going on some Prozac. I said, well, why don't we do some bug remedies? She said, yeah. So I came back a month later. We used remedies for all that stuff. And I said, well, you know, those remedies you took, did they do anything? She said, no, you know, I took them, but I don't think it did anything. I didn't feel anything. Oh, okay. So we got to talking, and she looked so good. That I said, let me ask you a question. Do you feel anxiety? Oh, no, I don't feel anxiety. Well, do you feel that? Do you feel depression? Oh, no. What about people taking advantage of you and using you? Oh, fear? Oh, no. And then, oh, my God. She said, they did work. she didn't even see it, you know? And so we need a new training program. We need a training program to train people to deal with their inner self, their psychology, their spiritual and the emotional component, this self inside of them, because we're taught to just hide it. So you can't go and say, so how are you doing? Say, yeah, I'm really depressed. I've got this incredible anxiety. I feel so much grief and hurt. I'm so confused and I'm so worried I'll never find anyone who really loved me. You can't go out and say that. There's an unwritten rule. You don't talk about your deep feelings. And Elizabeth Clare Prophet, who was a great spiritual teacher, she told me, she said, I was giving her some remedies, and she said, I never deal with any deep emotions. And that's the way the whole of America is. Nobody deals with anything deep inside themselves. We're living more like a shallow and superficial life, thinking, well, if we have a good husband, or if we have lots of money, or a nice new car, a big house, or whatever, then we're going to be happy. But that's not true, because, you know, and I tell everybody, I said, because you still got yourself. You haven't resolved the crap. You take yourself with you. I tell all the women that sign up for my course, my husband is, it's terrible, and he's this way and that way. I said, well, let me tell you a secret. The way you heal your husband, the way you heal your relationship is to heal yourself, because the secret is that if you look out in the external world and you see something you don't like a mean husband, say, for example, or an insensitive husband, and I don't like that, see, that's coming. There's a secret. Is it's coming because you're drawing that to you because of some configuration in the inner self. So I say, so don't get a divorce. Just hang on and let's treat you. And as you heal, your husband will change, because you won't be the same person projecting with the projecting screen, the 3D hologram of husband. You won't be doing that anymore. You'll be a different person. So I've got a woman on the East Coast, and she had to walk on eggshells for years. Her husband so dominating, a stick, you could cut it with a knife in the house. And she'd been working with me, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 months. And she didn't have to walk on eggshells. He's not dominating like he was. She's not even sleeping in the spare bedroom anymore. She's so eager to sleep next to him every night. And he's finally taken the remedies. And we gave him remedies for being dominating. So he's like cooling all that down. So I had a guy in Phoenix studying with me, and he and his wife were getting a divorce, and his wife was incredibly dominating. He was a total doormat. So the way you heal the marriage is to heal yourself. See, that's the way you heal the physical world, is to deal, change yourself in the inside of yourself. You beat your head against the wall, changing the external. Well, anyway, he took the remedies. He became more assertive. He got rid of his fears. He came into his power. He eventually got her taking the remedies. And by the time the year was up and he graduated, he told me that they were getting back together. They were not going to get a divorce. They were intimate again. They were sleeping together in the same bed. They were husband and wife again. It was working. Because the way you change the external world, and this is the secret. It's the secret of secrets. The way you, it's metaphysical. So you got to go real deep. Let yourself go real deep to see this. It's coming from you. What you see out there is your rose-colored glasses. So the person we need changes yourself. So that's the remedies. If you're bitter, if you hate men, all you're going to see is men that you hate. If you're afraid of getting mugged everywhere you go, you're just going to see people that are coming to mug you. It's all coming from inside of you. And the other thing is that the diseases, and this is a very deep metaphysical thing too, the diseases that people have are caused by karma from past lives. And what that means is that Kirpal Singh, he said that the people have had thousands, and we've all had thousands of past lives. I personally remember, I think, about 12 past lives. I'm really fortunate to have been shown those. But we've had thousands of them. And so in this life, he said that the major events of your life are predestined. They're set up before you're born, that you pay off. I had a really hard dark night of the soul when I was 51, and it turned out that was from something that I had done 2,000 years ago. So we're going through these sections of karma that we're paying off from the past. What the disease is, and what the pain, the body pain is, and the emotional pain is, it's a wake-up call that we need to go into the school. See, people talk about school. They talk about the university. Ever since they had those universities started over in Madrid in the 1500s, we still got the university. So, well, we'll go to the University of Minnesota or whatever. Okay, but that's not the one that's important. The one that's important is the university of yourself. Because the purpose of human life is to get to know yourself and to get to know God. Because as you go into yourself, you'll learn how to quit being the way that you've been in the past that wasn't working and that God wanted you to change, and heal your fears and anxiety and depression and guilt, and heal that trauma from the war and learn the lessons from it, and heal the trauma from the abusive childhood and learn the lessons from that. The human life is just a big school, and the teacher is God himself, the soul. It's like we have a spiritual master inside, and the spiritual master is your higher self, your spiritual self, the God self, your soul within yourself. So we're always being asked to learn things and grow, and because we're materialistic and we're chasing materialism and the tablets and the emails and the, you know, all the superficial things that we're doing, and it just goes into the disease, and the disease is a wake-up call. But, man, you're in the wrong job. Man, you're with the wrong woman. Dude, you're not eating right. Dude, you need to go work out some of that stuff from all that trauma you went through last year. Mm-hmm. And what happens is people don't change. People don't grow. They don't want to learn, and people don't want to work on themselves. And it's because we're being they push onto us a victim mentality, where we want something for nothing. We just want someone to fix us, and I'm an innocent victim, and this happened to me. I don't have anything to do with it. But the truth is, the secret is, it's all because of you. It's something inside of you, you know, that has drawn all this to you. And we need to go into the inner self, into the mind. Now, to resolve this stuff, Now, I'll tell you about the mind. Kirpal Singh also said that the mind has no consciousness. It's not made of consciousness. It's made of matter, whereas the soul has consciousness. So you got to be careful with the mind, because the mind, it can take you in the wrong direction. I had a woman who told me that this man, he was the most wonderful man, loved her, loved him so much. He was the man she was supposed to be with. She went ahead and was with him, and he destroyed her. Her mind took her in the wrong direction. Why would the mind want to destroy someone? Because it needs power. It needs energy. The computer takes massive energy from the wall socket. The mind takes massive energy from the human being. If it can get enough energy from you, then it's going to be able to feed and get strong and get high from you and all your suffering. So what we need to do is to pursue the soul, because the soul is a higher self. That's where the wisdom is, and it has a consciousness. So a woman's walking down the aisle, and she got the message, don't marry this man. I said, what'd you do? I went ahead and married him. So it was the worst nightmare of her whole life. Her soul was talking to her, and she was not listening. So part of the mind, there's a lot of things you want to do with your mind, like you want to open your heart so that you can feel. But you want to be careful in this whole thing they tell you, follow your heart. You want to be real careful with that, because we need to follow our soul. Before you make these decisions, you need to get the guidance and the instruction and the wisdom, and also from the soul. And also from the soul comes the lessons that you need to be learning. Another remedy that is a shielding remedy that is for anxiety. It's anxiety, and the remedy is called agrimony. I use that a lot with people. It's one of the curses of our current time. It's a mood that where a person goes into denial. I don't have any problems. A woman said, my husband hates agrimony. Class said, tell us about it. He said, well, he came in one day and said, honey, my mother died. So she said, that's terrible. When is the funeral? He said, oh, it was last week. So the agrimony doesn't tell you about their pain. They don't face their own pain. They don't deal with their pain. And then they have anxiety. And then they have body pain. And then they take drugs. So anytime anybody's taking drugs, I give agrimony. As they take the agrimony, they're going to get off all the drugs. It may take a little while, but they'll be off their alcohol. The cigarette smokers, which is the most difficult, all my students will quit their cigarettes. The psychiatric drugs and the medical drugs, I said, just go to the doctor who gave it to you. When you feel you're healed, and have the doctor check it out and see if they take you off of it. And then you've got pain. Everybody got weird pain. Back in the 80s, people had muscle pain, so they'd come get on my treatment table. I give them a treatment of deep massage. But now the pain is weird when they describe it to you. It's just really weird. But it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call that there's certain things that you need to go and deal with, and you're not dealing with it. So if you're going to get – and I think all my students are out of pain, and I never touch them. And you know, if you can afford the acupuncture, you know, go ahead and do it. If you chiropractic, go ahead. No, I have one student who's still in pain, but his pain is way better than it was before. And the anxiety means something's eating on you. So agrimony is your anxiety remedy. It's a very cool remedy, very very profound, and it's for the thing where you just make all your problems invisible. Don't deal with them. And there's three other remedies for anxiety, too. So, Go ahead.
What are the three other ones?
Okay. Because when you're talking to people, they will tell you they have anxiety. Or you can say, do you have anxiety? If a person has anxiety and you say, do you have anxiety? They will always tell you yes. So here they are. The first one is agrimony. The second one is aspen. Now, the aspirin is that fear remedy where it's a fear from unknown cause. So they're sitting around at night getting ready to go to bed, and they're scared to death. And you go, honey, how come you're so scared? You go, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just really scared. See? So it's a fear with no cause, and people loosely call that anxiety. So that's a remedy you want to check. Mm-hmm. Another one is mimulus, which we talked about. There's four remedies for anxiety. Mimulus has fear of worldly things. Worry about the money, worry about disease. Oh, my God, I'm going to get cancer. Oh, my God, I'm going to be in the poorhouse, can't pay the rent. Whatever the worldly fear is, and people call that anxiety. They're worried about money, and they call it anxiety. So you say, well, do you worry about the future? You worry about money? You worry about physical things? And then the last one is red chestnut. It's also a fear remedy. And the red chestnut has fear about the people that you love and care for. I have a student who's just tortured because her father was having medical problems and whatnot, was tearing her to pieces. And while she's still concerned now, it's not tearing her to pieces anymore. She's able to turn it over to God. And that's the red chestnut. Fear and worry about the people that you love. So that's what you ask them. Do you worry about people that you love and care for? And when they worry about their mother or their daughter or whatever, then they call that anxiety. So that's your four remedies for anxiety.
Okay.
And loosely, what it means in street level is that something inside you is just eating you up. It's just eating away at you.
Mm-hmm.
See, and the other problem or secret with the emotional component is that when you get to the mind, the astral mind, above the physical plane where the emotions are, they're invisible. So somebody says, oh, I've got this pain in my shoulder. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Let me talk to you. Let me ask you some questions, see if I can figure out what it is. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. I had a woman who was in excruciating body pain. It's my favorite story on this. And she signed up for my course. And she said she had fibromyalgia. She said it was just excruciating pain. And I gave her Sentry for being too much of an ice guy. It's also for protection. And then Walnut, which is also for protection, people taking your power, parasitic people. And then Agrimony for you know, the anxiety, denying her. I gave her a bunch of them. And a month later, she said, Dr. Love, I know why I have this pain. I said, well, why? She said, well, I'm a good Christian woman. I do things as the Bible would says, but I have to tell you, my husband is putting his pain on me, and I'm taking it on. And that's where my pain's coming from. So I said, my God. So we change the remedies. We do that every month. I talk to each student once a week for about an hour, hour and a half. So in 2 weeks, we had our weekly session, and she says, I talked to my husband, and I told him where my pain is coming from. It's coming from him. And he broke down and cried, and he said he felt so bad. And I said, well, did he stop putting his pain on you? And she said, yeah, I did. And I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you have pain anymore? She said, no, I don't. All of that pain, all of that fibromyalgia pain was gone. That shows the secret that when you have pain, emotional or physical, it's a wake-up call to tell you to go handle something. She needed to change something. I'll tell you another pain story. I had this woman, sweet Karen. She's passed away now. And she had the cancer. When she first signed up for my program, the cancer was in the bones so bad that she said that it was the worst pain she ever had in her life. And she would go to the doctor, get the radiation once a week, and that would calm down the pain in the bones. So as we do in the remedies within the month, she started telling me about how her stepmother, who she doesn't like, her stepmother, who sucks all the life out of her and sits down and talks a mile a minute forever and just sucks everything out of her. The stepmother's living in the bedroom, the guest room, and is sucking the life. thought of her. And I said, well, maybe that's where this pain in the bone's coming from. And she said, yeah. And I said, and we gave her the remedy for Sentry, which is for standing up and saying no and not letting people take your power and drawing your boundaries. And so she became, you know, very assertive, and she went to a stepmother and said, listen, I need you to move out. I'm really, she had the cancer. She said, I'm sick. I need to be here alone instead of taking care of you. So stepmother moved out. I swear to God, all of her pain went away. All of it.
Hmm.
We had, some of the pain came back again, and this was really bizarre. And her mother would come to take, so I'm coming, honey, to take care of you. But then she went in playing cards with her new husband, and they're drinking and carrying on and whatnot. And she'd go down to get the health foods for her and the organic food. She'd come back, oh, organic, smorganic, that's stuff. So that's it. And then she'd have non-organic food. And she was really disrespecting. And so then mother left. I said, well, maybe mother's causing your pain because you're, pain came back, not in the bones, but it came back in different places. And then we did the remedies more. And then she told me, she said, you know, every day my mother sends me a long text and I have to answer it. And it gives me such anxiety to answer her text because it's so manipulative. So I said, maybe that's causing your pain. So she told her mother to stop texting her and stop calling her.
Mm-hmm.
All her pain went away.
Hmm.
So here, it was her destiny to die, so she passed away, completely free of pain. Mother could not call her, mother could not text her, because mother was causing her pain. So that's a real good example of how the disease or the pain is a wake-up call. See, and the job of the doctor is to sit there and scratch your head and figure this stuff out. So what's this person running from? The problem is with the emotional, it's invisible. So you have to pull the records and open the files. And those last two examples I gave you, three examples, in all of those, I didn't know. She didn't know. I didn't know. But when we gave the remedies, within a month, it became exposed, and she could see it.
Mm-hmm.
She told me. So either she's going to see it or I'm going to see it. So that's called pulling the records and open the files. And even if you got an enemy coming down on you and they got their snipers ready to shoot you, they always stay hidden. They don't walk out where you can see them and shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
So like the dark forces stay hidden. So we got to pull the records and open the files.
Right.
There's always an emotional component, always there. And you're going to get so much better healing. Dennis Pick, if you use Bach, Dennis Pick was he was a chiropractor in Beverly Hills. He came and brought 15. He said, I grabbed 15 case histories of my patients, and he read all of them. All the patients had healed, all their back pain and all their problems and all their stuff. And he says, I couldn't have done this without the Bach. He said, when you give the Bach, you're going to have way better results with whatever therapy with his he was using chiropractic. You're going to have so much better therapy because you've got these heavy psychological blocks, spiritual blocks. You got those handled.
Well, Eric, would you like to give your contact information so people can know where to get in touch with you?
Thank you. Yeah. My phone number and you can email me and you can also text me. 406, which I'll give it out twice, 406-585-0774. medicinewind.11@gmail.com. And that's 406-585-0774. You can best text me or send me an email. And on my website, drericlove.com, the contact information is there. And my school is a one-year program, although some people have stayed with me for, I've got students been with me for 5 years because we just keep going deeper and they get more help. And it's a one-year program where I spend an hour and a half with you personally, with your stuff, healing your stuff and teaching you how to work with yourself in the future and how to work with other people. And we do that once a week for a year. And during that time, you take the remedies. It should be, I promise everybody, the most dramatic healing of your entire life. And you learn to work with other people. And I teach you a few other really cool modalities. One of them is healing disease through diet and nutrition. And as we, it's a true apprenticeship. We just hang out together. There's no tests and examinations and, you know, none of that regular stuff you have at school. So we just hang out together. You just pick it up. And especially as you're experiencing it, as you experience these things we're talking about, you'll never forget it, and you'll be able to be a magnet for people, you know, if that's what you want, to help other people. And so, again, it's 406-585-0774. And we also give a certified homeopath, certified nutrition consultant, and homeopathic certification of the treatment of animals with my school, the International Association of Homeopathy, DrEricLove.com.
Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. Is there anything else you'd like to let the listening audience know?
Well, the main message is you can heal yourself. You can heal your physical diseases. I think in the future, my guesstimate is that you come back in 2030, 2050, hardly anybody's going to be having physical disease, because the cat's out of the bag and the secrets are starting to be known of how you can prevent and heal your physical diseases. You can heal your disease. You can get yourself out of pain. You can take the hurt that you have in your heart and the fears that you carry that are eating away at you, and the anxiety and the low self-esteem and all those traumas from the childhood and all those traumas from the divorce and from all the painful betrayals and stuff. You can resolve all of that stuff. You can resolve it as if it never happened. It can be done. And that's what I teach you in my course, how to do that. So you can do it with yourself in the future. You can do it with other people.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Love. We've been talking with Dr. Eric Love, Becoming Your True Self with the Bach Flower Remedies. And next week, we will be talking with Angela Kaufman, Empowerment Through Aligning Our Energy with Archetypal Energy and Elements in Nature. Thanks, Eric. It was a great discussion.
Thank you. Susan, God bless you.
This is Dr. Susan Cobb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.